Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, you know what? I am a little bit behind on my show prep here this morning, and so let's make it easy. Let's make it easy, an easy opener for this show. This is like T-ball here. All you got to do is find a jazzy Crockett soundbite, and boom, you got something that'll start off the show with a little bit of fun here. So I don't know if you guys heard the latest from Texas Congresswoman Jazzy Crockett. No relation to Davy Crockett, as Jesse Waters pointed out. Jazzy Crockett is now saying that she's comparing herself to Beyonce when she's being confronted about all the stupid stuff that she says to get attention and how phony she is with this cosplay of pretending to be some rough and tumble kid from the hood when she's not. Anyway, listen to what she had to say here. Carly and crew had this on Fox and Friends first, I think yesterday morning. We might have had a soundbite ready for you yesterday, too, and never got to it.
Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett is laughing off claims that she is a diva boss who terrorizes staffers.
Are you a no-show yes. boss from hell who terrorizes staffers?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I know that I have arrived, honey. That is the way that I see this. Because as Beyonce says, if they're not talking about you, then obviously you must not be doing anything.
Yeah, there you go. So that was the Jasmine Crockett there. Joe Concha had this reaction. Let's get to that shortly after that soundbite was played.
Look, Jasmine Crockett is exactly the very essence of what so many Americans loathe about Washington, D.C. and their politicians. She exists solely to promote herself. Instead of being an elected official who seeks to solve issues, her constituents actually elected her to work on. Without social media, I think Jasmine Crockett would cease to exist in her current capacity. But if you support President Trump, if you support Republicans in general, at least, you know, conservatives or whatever, you want her speaking as much as possible. Because with her being out there, that's a good thing. Because, she's this caricature of herself and a performance artist and a cheesy one at that, that does videos like the ones you're seeing on your screen. This is not somebody who's serious about anything except promoting herself, Carly.
Yeah, and she's responding to a New York Post report citing three former staffers, people who used to work with her, who said that she's mean. It is widely known that she's not nice to staff and is just not a really dedicated member focused on constituents. She's more focused on being an influencer. So she may be right that all press is good press if you were an actress or trying to be an influencer. But if you're a member of Congress, the bar is different in that you shouldn't be famous for making inflammatory statements. You should be noted for doing work for your constituents. Sometimes that doesn't get national headlines, but if you're helping the people who elected you, that's the sign of a good leader.
All right. Let's see. One other thing we got to get to here. Hopefully we'll get to it later this morning. Bill Maher called out the women on The View. What did he say? He said something like, not the best advertisement for women. So hilarious that Bill Maher said that. Can you imagine if a conservative dude said that? All right, let's see. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Lots to get to. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures stay near 90 in Bozeman to about 93 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear. Temperatures fall in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. There was sunshine on Wednesday. Highs range from around 90 in Bozeman to the upper 90s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is trying to guide his caucus toward figuring out how to handle a potential showdown in the fall over government funding. Democrats huddled daily in recent weeks to decide an endgame strategy. Schumer has stopped short of threatening a shutdown publicly, even as he warns Republicans against pursuing GOP-only spending tactics. Schumer's decision to have conversations months in advance underscores what many in the caucus will acknowledge, that Democrats are trying to be proactive and not wait until the fall. The government is funded through September December 30th. Schumer's role so far is largely to facilitate the caucus's private conversations and act as a sounding board. But there's pressure on Schumer himself. Schumer and other Democrats helped avert a government shutdown in March when they provided the votes to meet the much-heralded 60-vote threshold to avoid a filibuster. Schumer then caught flak from the left wing of his party for helping Republicans. Schumer argued at the time that a government shutdown under President Trump and then Doge head Elon Musk would have been more catastrophic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
The week ahead.
Monday, beer lovers rejoice. Well, if you're in the state of Michigan anyway, and you like Yingling beer, that beer now available in the state, and Tesla opening an experience center in New Delhi, India. The automaker opened one in Mumbai in July. Tuesday, the McDonald's McDonaldland meal joins menus nationwide after a 20-year hiatus. It's a new meal and merchandise inspired by the fictional universe and its inhabitants, like the Hamburglar, Grimace, and Birdie. It's also peak day for a meteor shower, so look up. Wednesday, Vice President J.D. Vance is overseas. He'll deliver remarks at a Royal Air Force Base in Britain. And if the VP was a flyer on Southwest, he would have been able to order up some Pete's Coffee, the brand partnering with the airlines to be its exclusive coffee. Thursday, the latest version of a popular video game is released, Madden 26. Friday, it's the 80th anniversary of Japan's announcement surrendering World War II, just days after two nuclear bombs were dropped on the country. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is funny. I got a message on the Montana Talks app here from Bob in Columbus. Bob, you need to make a pot of coffee, enjoy a good cup of coffee, start your morning right. Bob in Columbus was like, is this really the top story of the day? No, it's not the top story of the morning. It's the random start at 6:06 in the freaking morning. We've got 4 hours to go. What do you think is the top story of the morning, Bob? What do you think is the big news of the day? We're going to get to it, but my goodness, really, 6:09 in the morning. Really, is this the top story of the day? No, but it's funny. And, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun around here, too. So maybe just go make a nice pot of coffee and try to wake up on the right side of the bed. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. First up on the phone lines, Nancy in Roundup. Great to hear from you, Nancy. What do you think is the top story of the morning?
Well, good morning, and that's a rude awakening, and that's what we all need here. And I'm telling you, rude awakening is the best therapy for anybody.
Just wake up.
I gotta tell you,
wake up. Cold water. And there you go.
I am so spot on with President Trump. I'm telling you, the crackdown in Washington, D.C. is long, long overdue. You know, he has already expelled 70 homeless camps out of our capital, and the graffiti on our monuments that belong to every American and represent our history and who we are, they're cleaning it up, and they really are, you know, using that Section 740. That's the way to go. And I'm telling you, you know, when I was a kid, we never heard of things like this happening in our capital or anywhere in the whole country. So I'm just delighted that this is happening. And I just want to say one more thing, that our Speaker Mike Johnson is cracking down on Adam Schiff. Apparently, during the Russian hoax, he spent $84,000 of taxpayer dollars on frivolous things, and he has to pay that back. So that's going to go into our treasury, and I think anyone who was involved in that Russian hoax, like Mueller and all of them, should pay back the money. Because if I remember correctly, I think, didn't that cost something like $1.4 million?
Oh, way more than that. tens of millions of dollars wasted on the Russia hoax, not to mention how far it set our country behind. Did you, going back to the D.C. crime story, President Trump basically talking about ordering a takeover of basically the D.C. police because the crime is so out of control. There was an ABC reporter, the DailyCaller.com has this, ABC News host recalls on air being jumped two blocks from their studios in Washington, D.C. And then the police union, I don't know if you saw this, Nancy. I know both the Daily Caller and the Daily Wire had stories as well. The D.C. police union loves what President Trump is doing. D.C. police union backs Trump's Capitol takeover. Quote, immediate action is necessary. So that's from the union for the police in D.C.
Yep, yeah. Oh, yeah, and then there was a congressman that had his car stolen just not too long ago. It has to end. This represents the United States, and like President Trump said, when our capital is dirty and corrupt, the whole country is. And, you know, and we have so many foreign visitors that want to go to Washington, D.C., in order to learn about our history because they're curious. They want to, you know, they're on a vacation. They want to find out and learn as much as they possibly can about our government and how, you know, the American history and how we people here, Americans, live and think. So if he's spot on, I'm telling you, this guy, I can't say enough.
This is our capital city, It was constitutionally created to be an independent area for the entire country, and the Democrats want to give it statehood and allow the permanent lawlessness just so they can have permanent power back in our nation's capital. Great topics all around, Nancy. Thanks for the call. Here's President Trump and what he had to say. One other thing real quick here. Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, had a great thread on X the other day talking about the history of D.C. Part of the original District of Columbia was given back to Virginia. So one of the things they're talking about is giving part of D.C. and the population back to Maryland and then keeping the nation's capital more focused on being the nation's capital. But here's President Trump. This comes on X via Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people. But they're tough, and they know what's happening, and they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly.
All right, there you go. That's President Trump talking about our nation's capital and a federal takeover of law enforcement in our federal capital. Now, that may be the biggest or one of the biggest stories on the national front, but what's the biggest story here on the Montana front? I would say that the biggest story here in Montana is the fact that the Anaconda shooting suspect made his first appearance in court via like one of these Zoom meetings. I think he got $2 million bail. He shot four people and then fled from law enforcement for a week. Why did he get any bail at all? Why didn't they, you know, put him on without bail? That's a question a lot of people have been asking. All right, I think we got a guest coming up right after this. Stand by.
Securing America.
The Department of Homeland Security last week making a change to bolster recruiting levels for ICE, removing age limits for new hires. What are some of the other requirements needed to join Immigration and Customs Enforcement? According to its website, the application process for frontline positions is rigorous and challenging, including steps such as background investigations, physical fitness tests, and a medical exam. But as part of the recruitment push, DHS is highlighting what it calls a robust package of federal law enforcement incentives, including a maximum $50,000 signing bonus, student loan repayment and forgiveness options, 25% law enforcement availability pay for HSI special agents, administratively controllable overtime for enforcement removal operations by deportation officers, and enhanced retirement benefits. ICE's mission statement, protect America through criminal investigations, and enforcing immigration laws to preserve national security and public safety. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
We broke the news Friday afternoon that the Anaconda shooting suspect had been arrested. And then Dennis Bragg got the updates on the radio on Friday afternoon as well. Then the press conference Friday evening. And then, of course, Monday morning, Attorney General Austin Knutson live right here on Montana Talks with the update. What will we talk about on Tuesday's Montana Talks? Well, why don't you tell us? We should have the Joker in the house. We'll be taking your phone calls and more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northland. Looking to our crop progress numbers out from USDA yesterday, let's start with winter wheat as harvest moved another 4 points ahead this past week, reaching 90% complete nationwide as of Sunday. That's just 2 points behind last year and 1 point behind the five-year average. In the northern part of the nation, harvest in Montana reached 40% complete, jumping 10 percentage points from the previous week. Idaho and Washington are currently at 50 and 69%. Looking to spring wheat, the harvest jumped ahead 11 percentage points this past week to reach 16% complete as of Sunday. That was equal to last year and 6 points behind the five-year pace. As for the crop condition rating nationally, it's rated 49% good to excellent. States like Minnesota seeing an 82% good to excellent rating. Montana and Washington the worst rated. Washington rated 14% good to excellent. Montana seeing just 4% of the crop rated good, 49% fair, and 47% poor to very poor. And while the good to excellent rating for corn dropped 1% to 72% this week, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says it's still looking a bit better from last year's crop.
This year's crop still coming in quite a bit better than last year at this time, when the corn was rated 67% good to excellent and 10% very poor to poor. Only 6 of the 18 reporting states into double digits for very poor to poor ratings, but most of those are low-end double digits. And as for the Midwest, we only have 2 states reaching that criterion. Illinois, 11% very poor to poor. Indiana, 10%. So you still have to look long and hard to find large-scale problems with this 2025 corn crop.
You're listening to the Western Ag Network.
CattleCon 2026 heads to the heart of Nashville, February 3rd to the 5th. Music City is the place to be for the largest cattle industry event of the year, offering education, networking, and fun. Plus, you can check out the huge NCBA trade show, outstanding entertainment, and more. Go where the beef industry meets. CattleCon 2026 in Music City, downtown Nashville, February 3rd to the 5th. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
Good news, beef producers. Consumers' opinions and preferences on beef are becoming more transparent month after month. Your checkoff dollar supports state-of-the-art research that taps into thousands of consumers' eating habits every month to track modern trends in meat demand and other proteins. With this knowledge, the Beef Checkoff can invest your dollars more wisely in future projects, empower the industry, and strengthen beef's place in the market. Get the full story at yourdollardoes.com. Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Returning back this morning, we see that the National FFA organization has reached a historic milestone, topping 1 million student members nationwide, including Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. This year's membership stands at 1,042,245 members across 9,407 chapters. That's up 1.5% from last year. Texas leads the nation with over 181,000 members, followed by California, Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina. In similar news, the National Corn Growers say USDA data shows there are over 526,000 farmers in the U.S. growing corn. That's far higher than the 300,000 figure the group has long cited, which referred to farms, not individual farmers. NCGA says the updated number gives the association a clear picture of the broader grower base it represents and will aid future economic analysis. On my Northland, Western Ag Network.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we are going to skip the Fox News update here in about 3 minutes because we've got a great guest on the phone lines with us right now here. You know, it's rare that we have a live guest here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but great to have Bruce Lavelle on the program with us, a longtime senior advisor to President Trump, also the former SBA advocate for the White House. Bruce, thanks for joining us on Montana Talks. You got the microphone. What do you want to tell folks all across Montana before I take us in various directions?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Well, you saw the great press conference yesterday. I love the press conferences, you know, because I don't think in my lifetime, and I'm dating myself, volunteered for Reagan in 1980. That was my first little campaign volunteer assignment. But just to see the transparency on how the president takes questions, no matter where. I love the part where, you know, we need to get a bigger press room. So, well, I don't want to make it comfortable for y'all.
They talked about should we make a ballroom? They were like, should we just have a ballroom? Should we build a ballroom for the press? They're like, no, I think we'll just stick with what we got. That was
hilarious. We don't want you comfortable. But more so anything, just the his willingness to make America safe. He's given a lot of these cities mayor warnings, especially here in the District of Columbia, is to like, look, you got to get your house in order. If not, we're going to have to come in and help you. So I think that right there, I hope that sets a pattern across the nation where other mayors are watching that and say, you know, maybe we need to revisit our sanctuary city guidelines. Maybe we need to bring back 287G. You know, or we'll just have President Trump in your backyard. So if that's what it takes to keep the American people safe, and remember, there's no economic development without safety and security. And the president knows that, being a developer.
Yeah, you talk about a new sheriff in town with President Trump. There's not only figuratively a new sheriff in town, there could literally be a new sheriff in town, especially in Washington, D.C. in particular. So, you know, you focused more on, you know, small business and the economy and in your tenure at the White House in particular. Big picture, President Trump is fearless. That's what he shows at that podium. That's what he shows day in and day again. He's going to fight back. He's always going to fight back. He's fearless. And really, this is an opportunity for America to think big, to dream big again, make our, you know, not just make America great again, but, you know, let's dial it down. How do we make our timber industry great again? How do we make mining in America great again? How do we boost small business in America and how the Big Beautiful Bill and everything ties into that?
Well, you know, for all the listeners, there are, what, approximately 30 million small businesses in America. And I'm one myself of 30 years in Atlanta. So we do make up 60% of the GDP, which is a, you know, a powerful force to be reckoned with. But, you know, he knows also too, that's the nucleus and the backbone, but more so in order to create, jobs as well as, you know, ensuring that the small businesses can create more jobs and keep their doors open and make their payrolls and their rents and have you, is he knows in that, for example, in the Big Beautiful Bill, the tax cuts, and you saw what happened in their first administration, how, you know, they lowered the FICA, as I call it, you know, which obviously gives more money in the payroll checks, gives more discretionary income for the employees, which they spend more money in the economy, which, bingo, grows the economy. Also giving the employer more incentives to incentivize their employees to, you know, maybe putting it more into health care, which is one of the hardest things to do in a small business. I know you got a lot of small businesses out there. That's one of the, as I call it, the golden eggs in order to attract good quality employees, is to offer health care. So he understands that. He understands the balance sheet. He looks at the mayors and city council members and other people who are listening, who, you know, who are actually, you know, in that position, just think of it that way, but more so inspiring and attracting good business people that want to come serve in these seats. That's really what we need.
I read a little bit more of your background here. You owned a small business in Atlanta for, what, 30-plus years? Have you, you've known President Trump since the 90s? Did I read that right? Well, how do you? That's great, man. We could. I know we only got you for a couple more minutes here, but it'd be fun to hear some of those stories going back to the 90s. But when you look at President Trump and how he did so well with black voters and Hispanic voters, now the question is, will the fellow Republicans help President Trump deliver for those voters so that those voters come back even when Donald Trump isn't on the ballot? How do you think they're doing thus far? And what are your other insights?
Well, some of them are fighting it, unfortunately. You know, in the first administration, you know, they thought that when he wasn't there the second term, we'll just go back to business as usual. As you remember, last year in November, there were a lot of Republicans on the ballot that didn't prevail when President Trump was on the ballot. So that tells you one thing. You know, you have to pivot over to the thing that works. And the thing that works is what President Trump is delivering. And any of the Republican candidates that want to join this, I call it the great movement, come under this great tent, you're going to have to stop the old way we've done business. You got to get away from letting lobbyists tell you where you need to vote, how you need to vote, and stop taking money from special interests and go in there and do the will of we the people, by the people, is the only way we're going to get out of this. And that starts, like I said earlier in your show, you know, even city council and commission seats, state house seats, state senate seats, school board, superior court judges, district court judges, et cetera. The things that affect us when we walk out that front door and look in our yard, that affects us locally. And that's the only way out of this. And you know, President Trump knows that. He's known it for many years. And yeah, you're right. I met him back in 91 in Atlanta when he was at Marla Maples. And we were there doing a fundraiser for Kid and Kind, which was raising money for, at that time, babies that were born with AIDS virus. They used that term back then, of course. And he was, in, of course, in Southwest Atlanta, and it was predominantly black group home, which, you know, he never gets credit for anything except the racist chant. And met him at the nightclub, Petrus.
No, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the rest is history, obviously off and on. I never thought he would be president, let alone be flying around with him in 2015, opening rallies for him, et cetera. So
friends ever since. That's remarkable. Yeah. What a great story. Well, Bruce Lavelle, great to catch up with you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Quick break. We got a hard break here on Montana Talks, and then coming up right after that, I think Public Service Commission President Brad Molnar, I think, is going to be calling into the show. He wanted to get the word out. He says, hey, I'm under investigation, and I don't know why. So we'll hear from Brad Molnar right after this.
Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it is Tuesday, so later on this morning. Actually, let me throw out a random one for you guys. So we're going to sneak in a fun conversation in the 7 o'clock hour of this show, talking about AI, artificial intelligence. Study of 7,000 workplaces finds... There we go. Study of 7,000 workplaces finds no significant impact on earnings or recorded hours in any occupation. But anyway, the guest that we're going to have on is a technology and artificial intelligence expert. So I thought, hey, let's sneak that one in there because, you know, more and more people are integrating AI, artificial intelligence, into their day-to-day, you know, work routine, et cetera, or using it to be more efficient. And so reason why I throw it out to you guys right now is, what job do you do? What do you do already to integrate AI into your job or your day-to-day life? Or what job do you do and you know nothing about AI, you don't use AI, as far as you know, you don't use AI at all in your day-to-day routine. Tell me what you do and what might interest you with the AI technology, because maybe we can integrate that into our conversation with the guests that we have joining us later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. And then, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house, mixing it up on all the big stories of the day. Yeah, if you ask me, though, I think that the biggest story of the day is the fact that the Anaconda Bar shooting suspect made his first court appearance. Here was the write-up from the Montana Television Network here. Michael Brown, the suspect in the Anaconda shootings that left four people dead, appeared before a judge Monday morning by video from the Butte Detention Center. Deer Lodge Judge Ken Wayland set bond at $2 million. Brown appeared alongside two public defenders and told the judge he did not have a job or a phone. Brown will remain at the Butte Detention Center. Why was the bond only set at $2 million? Why was he allowed a bond at all is a question I know some people have been asking. So I know some of you lawyer types out there may have the answer for us on that one. And then I guess another one is, why does he have two public defenders? I thought we were short on public defenders, but he gets two. Yeah, just like I say, just knee-jerk reactions. Some of you lawyer types out there could probably give us a little bit more of an explanation. All right, speaking of lawyer types out there, Brad Molnar, the president of the Public Service Commission, apparently has had to lawyer up here recently because he says he's under investigation and he has no reason or no understanding of why he is under some sort of internal investigation back at the PSC. Brad, thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, you bet. And I'll expand on that just a little bit. I'll go back to it here in a second. But it's not only a matter of I've never been told who has brought an allegation. I've never been told exactly what I was supposed to have been done. I've asked for a recording if they're going to interview me. And, well, first you got to agree to the interview, then we'll talk about that. Constitutional rights, due process has not surfaced at any point yet. But the other part of it is who's doing the investigation. The attorney hired by the PSC for this, so the legal, our legal department, you know, five attorneys had to hire an outside attorney to represent the commission. That attorney is Amy Christensen, who also happens to be a member of the Diversity Law Institute. What are the odds that a member of the Diversity Law Institute, who in 20 years has donated only to Democrats, only to pro-abortion Supreme Court justices, is going to find anything I said to be done in a professional manner? I don't answer to the governor. I don't answer to other commissioners. The law is clear that as a commissioner, I'm treated differently. I'm not up for investigation by these people. And yet, now I'm being held responsible to the Diversity Law Institute. I'm not saying it's a kangaroo court. I'm saying it's very marsupial in appearance. And so I, you know, probably going to cost me $10,000 to enforce the law, which says that as a commissioner, I am not an employee, cannot be treated as an employee. Per the law, I answer only to the people that voted for me.
Yeah, I saw a story. I saw a story here recently. KTVH, Jonathan Umberian had a report here noting that PSC Executive Director Alana Lake confirmed that there is an active investigation related to Molnar's, quote, interactions with others in the workplace. She said they were unable to disclose any more information about the allegations because they're confidential under state rules regarding workplace investigations. And so, yeah, it's... So, you know, interactions with others in the workplace. So it's like, I guess, yeah. What are we to make of that? What are you to make of that? Is there anything that you know, I mean, are you, I know you're a forceful personality and you're an independent kind of guy. You're willing to criticize Republicans and Democrats. So I could see how maybe some other folks around there may not like that. But do you have any indication as to why they might actually trigger some sort of investigation?
Well, basically, you're right. I'm pushing for reforms. Like any bureaucracy, people don't like reforms. They like their little nest. They like the power that they create for themselves, etc. When I came up with the idea, and I don't think it was radical. I think we're the only commission in the nation that does what we do. I said that our staff, our regulatory staff, will no longer meet in unannounced meetings behind closed doors with Northwestern staff to discuss whatever's going on. I've checked out with other commissioners, and they're like, "You what?" I said, "I challenged it. I was told I didn't have the votes to enforce it, so I should rescind my order." I said, "I'll not rescind my order. I want this to be in public. I want people to know what I'm trying to do here." And 3-5, we voted to have closed-door meetings between Northwestern staff and us and our staff on a very, very small issue, you know. And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to expand it, but, you know, we'll see how to do this." And ever since then, Alana Lake, you know, she says it's confidential. I can't discuss it. Here's our rules on confidentiality. There's only four of them. If there's a witness in need of protection, I'm not aware of that. Evidence in danger of being destroyed. There is no evidence. I have not been allowed to view the evidence. I don't know who brought the case. I don't know what the case is, and I don't know who the witnesses are. Testimony in danger of being fabricated. Well, there's always that, especially if nobody knows who was giving the testimony or why. And there is a need to prevent a cover-up. Cover-up. I'm the one that took it to the press so that people would know what the heck is going on here. You know, and I think when you take a look at, I'm being investigated by the Diversity Law Institute, which is anything to do with gender identification, manipulation of youth to have surgeries, abortion stuff, gay rights stuff, LGBTQ. I have never said anything negative about LGBTQ or any of these people. Doesn't make any difference. They are now being paid $2,000 a day, $250 an hour, without a bid to even do the work, which under $10,000 you don't have to. So I asked our chief legal. I said, "Apparently you've done this before, is what you told me. How much did it cost? You know, is there a reason to assume it's going to be over $10,000?" He said, "I'm not going to answer that question."
Yeah,
so
interesting. So what?
I look.
So what do you think the people of Montana should do? The people that you're talking to right now. I mean, A, it's good to inform them on what's going on, because, you know, if I read right, Ambarian says that, you know, you never know. There could be a vote by other commissioners to try to remove you, and you're an elected official, so the people put you there, right? So, A, informing the people is important, but what else do you think that the people of Montana should say or do in light of this information?
I think that they need to contact their own commissioners and say, "Look, you know, if they can do it to Molnar as president, they can do it to you. The law is clear. They can't do it. I've already said I'm not paying for this. You know, the commission will not pay for an illegal act." And let them know that if there is ever going to be a hearing on anything for anybody at any time in the Public Service Commission, due process rights will be upheld. If somebody can argue that, "Well, not at this point, you know, we'll get to that after the vote, if he wants to take it to court." No, we will always grant due process rights. You always get to face your accuser. You always get to record a meeting. And the public in that way is informed. The constitutional rights of the public to be informed and to know the actions before a final vote are in the Constitution. In this case, the commissioners aren't even allowed to know. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Well, yeah, it just seems to me like, the whole thing just seems odd. Okay, we're investigating you, but we're not going to tell you what for, we're not going to tell you why, and then we want to sit down and interrogate you, but we're not going to tell you why you're being interrogated first. Yeah, just, you know, hey, if there's more to the story, then they need to tell people that, you know, what the more is to the story. Either way, Brad Molnar, Public Service Commission President, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your side of the story. Great to hear from you, as always. All right, quick break. Back right after this with Montana Talks.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The war between Russia and Ukraine, this is entirely a war that started on Joe Biden's watch. If you remember when Putin was amassing troops along the Ukrainian border, but Putin is amassing military troops and military hardware all along the border with Ukraine, And Joe Biden never picked up the phone and called Vladimir Putin and said, what are you doing? Joe said two things just before the invasion. What words do you have for Putin? Don't. Remember, don't. Kamala Harris repeated, don't.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures stay near 90 in Bozeman to about 93 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear. Temperatures fall in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. There was sunshine on Wednesday. Highs range from around 90 in Bozeman to the upper 90s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The Don't Worry, Be Fluffy Tour raises the roof in Billings, Montana. That's one of the headlines at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a massive country star gives Montana a shout-out in a new song. Speaking of country stars, Hank Williams Jr. nearly died 50 years ago in Montana. That and much more, MontanaTalks.com. Or if you download the app, you'll see all those stories and much more. Plus, full audio from the show every day. Download the Montana Talks app.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, earlier in the hour, we were talking about this story out of D.C. Where President Trump is talking about federalizing law enforcement in Washington, D.C. to deal with all the violent crime. You know, you've had, you've had members of Congress that have been attacked and in some sticky situations. You had a young man murdered this earlier this year as well. It was interesting listening to Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and they were talking about how, you know, here's President Trump at this podium, and here he is talking about, you know, the federal takeover of law enforcement in Washington, D.C., and they were noting how little pushback President Trump and his team actually got when it came to this topic. Here you have a lot of these anti-Trump reporters in the room that nitpick anything Donald Trump does. But when it comes to law enforcement in D.C., all of a sudden they got a little bit quiet, didn't they? That's because they all live there. That's because some of them have been jumped on their way to work. That's because they live, many of them, in fear when they walk the streets of Washington, D.C. So it's a little more personal for them, right? All these other issues affecting America, they could sit there and ignore the crime in Minneapolis. They could ignore the lawlessness in Seattle. They could ignore the illegal aliens bringing drugs and violence to Indian reservations in Montana, because they don't live on Indian reservations in Montana. They don't care. So they could sit there and nitpick his border security strategy. They could sit there and, oh, no, that's not a big problem. And they could sit there and lie to the American people, but they couldn't lie to themselves yesterday very well, could they? Let's see. I've got audio from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Kash Patel was also at the podium as well. We have all that audio ready to rock and roll for you here throughout the morning. Let's sneak in another phone call here. We've got Thomas in Billings. Thomas, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I know your topic was about AI. It's a two-part topic. You know, it's funny. I've been in the trucking industry for over 36 years, and now they got AI running the cameras, looking at the drivers, looking outside, and you could pick up your coffee and drink it, and AI will go, oh, you're on your phone, you're on your phone. And then send that to the company, like, I'm not going to say the company because that would be rude.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It's amazing. Well, and then, you know, it tells you, oh, you're on your phone. No, I'm not. I'm taking a drink of coffee. I'm driving 20 hours or 12 hours or whatever it is. But on the other note, I wanna stand up for Brad Molnar. I've known Brad Molnar. He is a good guy. He is a very constitutional conservative. And they're not even allowing him to have his constitutional rights and due process of law. But if he was an illegal alien, and I say the word alien, they would allow them to have their constitutional rights, and they would use taxpayer dollars to fly him back from Venezuela or wherever the hell he was and give him his constitutional rights. But an elected official in the state of Montana does not get his constitutional rights. His constitutional right is to know his accuser and what he is being accused for.
Yeah, and it's like
not giving that to him.
On face value, what it looks like is, okay, he's an independent guy. He's a brash guy. He probably stepped on somebody's toes. But, hey, you know what? If you're working in politics, if you're representing people, you're going to step on some toes every now and then.
I do it every day.
I mean, it's like, oh, you got your feelings. Somebody got their feelings hurt, and now they're going to trigger some, investigation costing the taxpayers a bunch of money.
Exactly.
Unless there's more to this story, I mean, that's what it looks like here. So, hey, Thomas, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call, man. It was while you were talking about the cameras spying on you drinking coffee. I lifted my cup of coffee. That's just crazy. I don't know how the truckers deal with that.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at smokeybear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.